Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 47 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. It's Thunder season preview week at Locked On Thunder and at the Norman Transcript. Today, it's the final piece, part five, going over expectations and predictions. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast. You can leave a review there as well. Find us on audioboom.com too. Today's episode is brought to you by SeatGeek. Use SeatGeek to find the best deals on tickets. So today is the final installation of season preview week at Locked On Thunder and the Norman Transcript 2. A quick review in case you missed any of it. I went over part one of season preview week in Monday's podcast. That was on the Thunder guards. Part two on Tuesday. That was on the Thunder wings. Part three, Wednesday, Thunder big men. And part four, Thursday, on the coaching and the schemes and all that stuff. You can find those wherever you listen to Locked On Thunder. I've got a corresponding article with every podcast as well. You can read those on normantranscript.com. Head onto my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. And you can follow my coverage there as well, just beyond the season preview stuff. Remember, I'm on every day of the week, off weekends, but shows Monday through Friday. So today is obviously the last one of the week. You're going to have to do without me for 48 hours before I come back on Monday. But for now, let's get to it. So predictions, expectations, some gambling lines. So here's how it's going to work today. I'm going to ask myself a question. Man, I just opened myself up for some jokes there, didn't I? Yes, I'm asking myself questions. It's something I've never done before. I've never done that before. I've definitely never accidentally asked myself a question on national TV. That's never happened. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. That's absolutely never happened. But I'm going to ask myself a question. Yes, I'm going to ask myself a question. This time I'm going to actually mean to do it. And then I'm going to answer the question, unlike last time. And I'll answer it with a prediction. This time, I mean to do it this time, I promise. I'm not calling myself Fred during the questions. That's not going to happen. Stop asking me to call myself Fred. It's not going to happen. First question. Will Russell Westbrook break the record for usage rate? Prediction, no, and I'm honestly not sure it's close. First, usage rate is just the percentage of, how am I defining usage rate? Let me collect my thoughts for a second. Okay, usage rate. It's the percentage of possessions that the ball ends in a player's hands when he's on the floor. So if Russell Westbrook has a 38% usage rate like he did in 2015, then that means that 38% of his team possessions when he's on the floor end with the ball in his hands. That means with a shot attempts, him getting fouled, or a turnover. And those are the possibilities. Those are the things that factor into usage rate. So it's basically how often are you commanding the ball at offense, how often are you ending possessions. 2014-15, that 38% usage rate, I think it was 38.4%, second highest usage rate in the history of the NBA, dating back to the NBA-ABA merger in the mid-70s. Second highest ever, behind Kobe's 2006 season. That was clearly the most used season ever, if you remember that year. I mean, Kobe averaged over 35 a game, and it was crazy. He was 38.7%, and Russ was 38.4%. So they're damn close. And Russ was over 39%. After Kevin Durant went down for the season at the All-Star break. So that's why people talk about Russ potentially having the most used season ever. I don't think it's happening. So here are some of the players with the highest usage rates ever. Kobe in 06, then Russ in 2015, Jordan in 87 is third, Allen Iverson 2002 is fourth, Dwayne Wade, 2009 fifth. Jermaine O'Neal, 05. Jordan, 02. Iverson, a couple Iverson seasons in 01 and 06. Kobe is 10th. That rounds out the top 10. Kobe, 2012. You get Melo, 2012. DeMarcus Cousins, 2016. Iverson again, 2004. Tracy McGrady, 2003. And one of my favorite seasons of basketball ever, Jerry Stackhouse, 2001, when he was just putting them up for the Detroit Pistons. That was a fun season. Anyway, that's the top 15 most used seasons, basically since the NBA-ABA merger in the mid-70s. And because, you know, these aren't Will Chamberlain seasons or anything like that, because they don't have good enough data on possessions and that kind of stuff to include that. So we're basically talking in the last 40 years with pretty legit sample size. Those are the top 15 seasons. Every one of those seasons is still above 35% usage. Every one of them. Aside from 2015, Russ has never had a 35% reusage. I mean, people talk about how much he shoots, but those seasons, aside from that, I think it was an aberration of a 2015 season. Aside from that year, Russ has never had. He was a little over 34 once. For the most part, I mean, for last year, 31.6%. It was one of his lowest in a couple years. Billy Donovan, I mean, he wasn't asked explicitly what do you think is going to happen with his usage. But Billy Donovan said on Woj's podcast that this year is going to be totally different than that one a couple of years ago when he had the 38% usage. Sam Presti railed against the idea during media day on Wednesday too. I think Russ, you know, he matured a lot as a facilitator last year. He was just way better as a decision maker. He ran the offense better. I don't see him reverting. I mean, I don't see it coming back just because Kevin Durant is gone. There are other weapons there. Like Victor Oladipo is an offensive weapon. Steven Adams is good at things on offense. Enes Kanter is good at things on offense. Like there are options for Russell Westbrook. And, you know, Steven Adams was there. Enes Kanter was there in 2015. But I actually think these guys are better now than they were then. He didn't have Victor Oladipo. So I think, you know, he had Waiters instead of Oladipo. And I think Oladipo is... As much as I love Deion Waiters, I think Oladipo is the better player. So I think Russ is going to shoot a lot. I think he's going to shoot a lot. I think he could lead or come close to leading the league in usage. I just don't think it's going to be that's exactly where it's going to be. I think he's matured. He just made better decisions, consistently good decisions. Like, I bet he never overpaid for a ticket to a sporting event. I bet he never made that bad decision. That's the worst feeling, right? You walk to the arena or the stadium, you get to your seats, and they just aren't worth the money. So you start to wonder, how can I actually get the best deal on a ticket? Well, SeatGeek can help prevent that feeling. SeatGeek is an easy, mobile-friendly experience. You just download the app, and the ticket is right there on your phone. You walk to the gate with the barcode. It's right on the screen. There's a rating on every ticket. It's 1 to 100, and it can tell you what kind of bang for your buck you get for your ticket. Plus, on top of all that, there's an easy way to save some more money. Now, this is the important part, so just make sure that you pay attention or get your pens out or whatever it is. You go to the settings tab on the app, you click add a promo code, and type my promo code, LO Thunder. You don't even need to write it down. It's easy to remember. It's one word, LO Thunder, LO, just like locked on. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. You want to know if there are any deals to Thunder games or Sooner games you're missing out on this fall? You can sign up for price alerts for events. Those are going to let you know the pricing. And more importantly, they're going to point out sneaky moments leading up to event when prices start to drop. And you can duck in and get a ticket for maybe a price that you didn't think you'd get it for initially. There's no more wondering what if when you think you may have overpaid for a game. Use SeatGeek and that fear is gone.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So now that we know that Russell Westbrook doesn't overpay for events, probably because he just gets in for free since he's playing in the games, let's get to question numero dos. Over-under. Over-unders are so fun. Everyone likes over-unders. And Vegas released the over-under lines. They released them this week thanks to... I saw CBS's Matt Moore wrote about it. I've got it up on the Norman Transcript Friday morning as part of my predictions column. And we're going to talk about it right now. Over under 45.5 wins for the Thunder this season. That's the Vegas line. 45.5 wins. I'm taking the under. I'm also saying this is a stay away bet. I think this is a stay away bet. I wouldn't make this bet. I'm taking the under. I also am predicting them to win 45 games. So I am, and that was my prediction before the line came out. I mean, that was the one that I made when I went on Nate Duncan's Dunked on Basketball podcast. And I want to say I've written it or tweeted it or said it on previous podcasts. I don't know. I've definitely said it like in conversations with people. You guys don't understand. The Thunder crossed my mind so much that all my worlds are jumbled. And I don't know if I write things or if I say them on the podcast or if I say them on other people's podcasts or if I just say them to other people or if I just think them in my insane head when I'm talking to myself in the privacy of my own apartment and people don't realize how crazy I am. So I don't know if I predicted it. I know I predicted it on Nate's podcast because he specifically asked me. I don't remember if I did it again, but I'm doing it now. 45 is my prediction. So I think this is kind of a stay away bet. You know, if you have to make bets on all 30 teams, if you're doing like a pool or something like that, I take the under. But if you're someone who likes to gamble and betting on sports is, you know, talking about betting on sports, it's all fun. Like that's fun. 45 and a half and over unders are the most fun for me to talk about. I just love talking about these predictions. I don't know if the offense is going to carry them over it. Now, obviously, we're talking with such semantics when we debate 45 versus 46 wins. But I just think there are going to be offensive lulls throughout this season. There are going to be games where they can't really get out running. And I think a lot of their points are going to come off of just games where they're able to get out running. And that doesn't just mean on the fast break. I talked about this a lot when I talked about the schemes and that kind of stuff in the coach podcast Thursday, but I think they're going to run. They're going to play an aggressive defensive style that allows them to run. And it's not just because you can get out running and score on the fast break and get layups and stuff. It's also because it gets you in the secondary break. So, you know, defenders who aren't your actual primary assignment have to pick you up in transition, just, you know, pick up Russ or pick up Oladipo just to slow them down, just to impede their way to the rim so they can't get a layup on a fast break or something. And yeah, maybe they stop the fast break, but now all of a sudden you got a big guarding Oladipo, or you got a wing or a point guard guarding Steven Adams, or, you know, whatever it is, you got the center guarding Russell Westbrook, and the defense is jumbled. And the Thunder have the players, like, they don't really have shooting, and that's what's going to bog down their half-court defense, I think. But they do have athletic players who can take advantage of one-on-one mismatches. Like, Oladipo can do that well. Westbrook can do that well. I think Kanter can obviously do that well if you get him on the low block. So I think these are scenarios that can really help the Thunder in effects of running hard. But you can't always do that against good teams. Like, that's not something you can do every single night. And you can do it a lot, and you can be good at it, and you can do better on it on certain nights than maybe other teams would. But there's some nights you'll be tired. It'll be the second half of back-to-back. You know, maybe Russ just isn't feeling it, whatever it is. And you're not going to get out running quite as much. Maybe you play a team that's really conservative offense and you're not going to get as many live ball turnovers. And because of that, you can't get out running just as much. Maybe the team you're playing is just on fire offensively. And, you know, you're not going to get if you're giving up makes on the other end, it's hard to get out running. So I just think in those scenarios, the Thunder are, if they have to play in their half court the whole time, like that's an offense that's going to struggle. And that's why I say under 45 and a half, but I think they'll be good. I think they'll be over 500. I think they're a playoff team. And I think it's a stay away bet at 45 and a half. Now, if the line moves up two wins or something like that, then it's not as much. And that tends to happen because we've got a month before the season starts and these lines go away. And sometimes these lines fluctuate a lot. Like last year, I remember the Kings line fluctuated a lot. It came in at like 30 and a half and went all the way up to 33 or 33 and a half. Lakers lines tend to fluctuate, as do Knicks ones, because Knicks fans and Lakers fans always tend to bet on the over. So you bet, the Lakers come in. I forget what they came in. They come in at whatever number. And then you check back 3 weeks later and that number is up two wins because so many people have bet on the over. And it's because Lakers fans are just betting on the over like crazy. I don't know what kind of action we'll see with the Thunder this year, but I would stay away at 45 and a half. That's my advice on there. Question three: who's the X factor? It's obviously Steven Adams. I mean, I guess you could say Oladipo, but I think Steven Adams is more important. Like, if Steven Adams is as good as he can be, he can have a bigger impact on this team than Oladipo. And I think Oladipo is a good player. And we got a question regarding him later in the show and not too long. But Steven Adams, I mean, when the Thunder traded Ibaka, that was a statement about Steven Adams. Like, yeah, part of it was because Ibaka wanted a bigger offensive role and because the Thunder were worried about their ability to retain him when he becomes a free agent in 2017. And, you know, maybe part of it was that, like, he had kind of fallen back a little bit in terms of his caliber of play. I mean, he was good last year. It wasn't the best year of his career. And, you know, maybe the Thunder just didn't want to have to invest a max contract or close to a max contract in him when he hit the open market in 2017 or have to lose him for nothing or whatever it is. And those are all reasons. But one of the reasons they gave him up and they didn't get back another big man who's defensive-minded, like they didn't. They got Ersan Ilyasova. They got Joffre Laverne. Those are the big men they acquired this summer. They've got Enes Kanter on the roster already. They got Sabonis. They got those three. I forgot Sabonis when I initially said it. They got those three guys. None of them are rim protectors. None of them are going to be plus defenders this year. I think Sabonis could be a decent defender down the line. I think it's unrealistic to expect him to be a plus defender as a rookie. Rookies are almost never plus defenders. Like, it's so rare that you find a Justice Winslow. So, I mean, that's not going to happen with Sabonis. I mean, it's unreasonable to expect a rookie to be a plus defender like that. It's because they have faith in Steven Adams. It's because Steven Adams, they think, is going to be as good of a rim protector, as good guarding away from the ring, as good as a pick-and-roll director, and as good of a pick-and-roll stymier as he was during the playoffs last year. That's obviously what they think. They think there's going to be a carryover effect from that postseason run. I don't disagree with them. I think that's going to happen too. I think Steven Adams is going to be really good this year. But if Steven Adams plays the way that he did during the regular season, which is possible, like, we've seen guys, young players who have tons of potential, have solid regular seasons, reach their potential in the postseason, and then come back to their solid regular season the following year. And that doesn't mean that's just who they are. Maybe they absolutely peak the following season. Like, maybe they really get their peak the next year. It just took an extra year. They had to take a step back before they took a step forward. Progression's not always linear. I mean, that's something I think we get fooled by a lot. We see a guy do really well once, and we think, oh, now this is who he is, or now he's ready to take his next step. And then he takes a step back, and we think, oh, no, what a fluke. It's not a fluke. Progression's not linear. Humans are not robots. Quote of the day. My quote of the day. The Fred Katz quote of the day. Humans are not robots. Just remember that when you talk about progression with players. There is a possibility that Steven Adams has a similar regular season to the one that he had last year. And if he does, the Thunder defense is in trouble because he's by far their most important defender. He's got to be killing on pick and rolls. He's got to be protecting the rim. I don't think he's going to be an incredible shot blocker, but he's a really good rim protector. That's more important anyway. He's got to be switching when he needs to. He's got to be calling out defensive signals. He's got to be helping like a maniac, recognizing baseline cuts, recognizing all of these types of actions that people are running. He's got to be doing all of this stuff, and he's got to be doing it at a high level for the Thunder defense to be good. Now, I think the Thunder defense is going to be a top 10 defense, and the reason why is because I think Adams is going to be that good. Because I think that what happened in the playoffs last year is something that we will continue to see this year. He was tremendous. He was fantastic. And I think that's just the player he is. I mean, I think that's what he is now. I think he's developed. And that's just what he is. He was fantastic against fantastic teams in a fantastic moment. And I think that's what he is. But if he's not, and the defense isn't in the top 10, if the defense is like the 15th best defense, and the offense is 18th, ooh, all of a sudden, like, maybe that's a 39-win team. Now we're talking about a team that's on the outside of the playoffs looking in. And I don't think that's going to happen. We're talking about not necessarily a worst-case scenario. We're talking about something that's far from the best-case scenario. But it is a possibility. And I think that's what makes Adams the X factor. I think that's what really makes him the X factor, because if he doesn't come out and the Thunder are in more trouble than if anybody else who has a possibility of not coming out doesn't actually do it. Question four, is Russell Westbrook's 2-1 MVP odds a good bet? Not quite. Not a good bet. So Stephen Curry's 4-1. LeBron James is plus 450. That means 4.5-1 or 9-2 or however you want to do your ratios. Kevin Durant is 10-1. Or you could say he's 20-2. He's 10-1. I think Durant is honestly the best bet. I mean, look, 2-1 MVP odds for anybody is just not. I wouldn't make that bet in September. And these lines are according to Bovada.com, by the way. I just wouldn't make a 2-1 MVP bet at any point in September. Like, that just doesn't seem intelligent to me. Those are bad odds. Like, those are clearly people who are running on the Russell Westbrook is going to have a crazy year train. And I think he's going to have a crazy year. But 2-1 for MVP? I mean, here's the problem with that. If you feel strongly enough to bet on Russ at 2-1 MVP, then that means that you must really think the Thunder are winning 50-plus games. And it means you probably it means that you absolutely have to back up a statement that the Thunder are going to be top three in the West. And here's why. Because 2-1, you better be super confident. And I can't remember the last time that we saw an MVP that wasn't from a top three seed in his respective conference. I can't remember when that was. I know this. I can't remember it. It was a long time ago. It's always from a top three seed. That's always what it is, every single time. Maybe guys get close. Maybe guys finish top three, top four, or whatever, from lower seeds. Always top three. Last guy to win MVP on a team that didn't win at a 50-win pace. I say 50-win pace because we've had a couple of lockout seasons in, you know, what was it, 2012. And in 1999, we had lockout seasons. So, like, there were only 50 games in the 99 season, so it wasn't from a 50-win team. But last guy to win it, not at a 50-win pace. Moses Malone, 1982, 34 years ago. That's 34 straight years of MVPs coming from teams that basically win 50 games, from 50-win caliber teams. Every year. Like, you got to justify that Thunder are going to win 50 and that they're going to be in the top three for Russell Westbrook to justify a 2-1 Russell Westbrook bet. And I don't think that you can make that you can really make that argument. Now, if Russell Westbrook had better odds, I'd say go for it. There's not a player that I vote for at 2-1 MVP odds anyway. Like, 2-1 is, that's crazy to me. I think that's a silly bet. I wouldn't do it. Durant, 10-1. That's a cool one. I mean, people talk about how he and Stephen Curry are going to take votes away from each other. Kinda, maybe. I mean, we saw Kevin Durant win MVP a couple of years ago, and that was next to a stat-packing point guard also named Russell Westbrook, and he still won MVP. Like, people made the argument LeBron would no longer win any MVPs when he went to Miami because he was playing next to Wade and Bosch, and they were going to have to share the ball, and they were going to have to share touches. They were going to have to share the offense. LeBron did just fine. He won a lot of MVPs. I don't really buy that. If you're the top guy in the pecking order, you're going to get your shots. And I do think Kevin Durant's going to be the top guy in the pecking order. 10-1, better odds. I mean, that's, you're getting five times better than what you would with Westbrook. That's a team that could win 70. If that team wins 70, it's probably going to have the MVP on it. And then you're deciding between him and Curry. And Curry's 4-1. Durant is 10-1. Take the friendlier odds. So that's what I'd say. I know that's a little bit upsetting news for Oklahomans, but just the odds with Russ. I mean, look, I think Russ is going to be awesome this year. He was amazing last year, and he's an amazing player, and I think he's going to be tremendous this year. He's going to lead the Thunder to the playoffs, in my opinion. But just the odds, just they're not good. They're not good. It's just if you think of betting as an investment, it's just not a practical investment. That's really it. You're buying as high as you can possibly buy. You want to buy low. With Durant, you're not necessarily buying low, but you're buying lower than if you buy with Westbrook. So I made this one up. Here's an over-under that I made up. This is not from anywhere except from my mind. Over-under 18 points per game for Victor Oladipo. Over, baby. I'm going over 18 points a game for Oladipo. And I want to give Victor Oladipo some dap because I feel like I pointed out some of his flaws on Thursday's podcast. And it was fair. They were real flaws. And I mean, I didn't say anything I don't believe. Like, I pointed out that stuff. But he has way more positives than he does flaws. And he is a good player. And I don't think I talked about the positives enough just to even out that I do think he's a really good player. So let's do it now. I'm picking over 18 points a game. I think he's going to have his opportunities this year. Like, there's not really a consistent secondary creator on this team. There's Russell Westbrook. And then they need Cameron Payne to be good, because otherwise Ronnie Price is going to have to be the backup point guard. So they're going to give Cameron Payne as many opportunities as they can as a backup point guard. But Oladipo is going to have tons of opportunities. Like, even if he gets off to a slow start, they need him to be good for their offense to be any semblance of respectable. So because of that, I think Oladipo is just going to keep getting touches. He's going to keep getting shots. And yeah, he's playing next to Russ, who likes to handle the ball. But Russ is not going to handle the ball in 100% of possessions. Like, Oladipo is going to get opportunities. He's going to get the ball. And he's good. He's improved as a shooter a little bit. Now, I'm curious to know if that 40% three-point figure that he had over the last 20, 25 games of the year, whatever it was, I'm curious to know how much of that skill transfers over into this year. Like, that was probably a hot streak. He's probably not a 40% three-point shooter. He's almost definitely not a 40% three-point shooter, but maybe he's better than a 34, 35% three-point shooter. Maybe he's better than that. And if he is, maybe he's 36, 37. All of a sudden, that's a huge help. You've got an above-average shooter on the wing, along with Ersan Ilyasova. Opens up the offense a little more. Guys will have to guard him. And if they don't, then Russ can kick to him for threes, or he can take threes off the dribble. He can hit threes in transition, maybe. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen. We haven't seen enough of a sample size to really think that that's going to happen. But if there is a carryover effect from his hot streak at the end of the year, that would really be a tremendous help. But I don't think that's how he's going to get most of his points anyway. I think he's going to get a lot of points in transition. I think he's going to get a lot of points just darting to the basket. I think he's going to get to handle the ball in some pick-and-roll situations. He's going to get a lot around the rim. You know, the Thunder aren't going to have the best spacing, so it's going to be tough for him to get to the rim at times. When they've got, you know, Roberson on the floor, and maybe if, you know, Russ is spacing and Roberson's spacing and Adams is around the basket, that's three guys who are below-average three-point shooters. So the defense is going to have no problem if Oladipo is in penetration trying to get into the paint. The defense is going to have no problem draping two, three, four defenders around him. And all of a sudden, he's got to finish over a bunch of guys. So that's going to be an issue. But it's also not really new for him. Like, it's not like he had tremendous spacing with the Magic. I mean, they had to sign Channing Frye because they needed a floor spacer. Like, their best big man now, I know Channing Frye went to the Cavs in the middle of last year, but like, in terms of the way that they operated in trying to find spacing, they tried to get them from their big men because their wings and guards were just so such poor shooters aside from Fournier. Like, Payton is not a three-point shooter, and Aaron Gordon, I think, is going to be really good, but he's not a three-point shooter. Vucevic is a good mid-range shooter, and he should, I imagine, he'll take his game out to the three-point line at some point, but he's not a three-point shooter. There's cramped spacing in Orlando, too. So he's used to the cramped spacing, and he was still able to get to the hole pretty much whenever he wanted. So I think that's going to continue this year. I think he's going to be really energetic. I think he's going to score a lot. I think he's going to get a lot of chances. I think he's going to play plus defense. And that 18 points per game, I don't think he's going to be like 23 or something. I think he's going to be a little over 18. And I think it's going to be a career year for him. I think he's going to be a little over 18 a game. 18 and a half, maybe 19, something in that realm. Second leading scorer on the team. I think that's possible. Second to last prediction? Yeah, second to last prediction. So the question is, where do the Thunder finish in the West this year? This is a big one. I'm picking sixth. Fifth is possible. I have the Grizzlies fifth, but the Grizzlies are really injury prone. You know, they have a million guys who could get hurt. Parsons could get hurt. Conley could get hurt. Gasol could get hurt. Randolph could get hurt. Tony Allen is, you know, has had a great career, but he's not, you know, he's in his mid-30s now. Anyone in their mid-30s could potentially get hurt. I mean, this is a team that could win 48 games, and it's a team that could win, what, 30-something games, because everything could just go to hell and everybody could get hurt. So I'm picking the Grizzlies fifth, but I'm honestly not the most confident in the world that I'm picking Utah fourth. I mean, fourth is possible. for the Thunder. It's definitely possible, but I do like the Jazz. Jazz got their health. They had major injury issues last year, and I'm not sure if they were fluky or if they're carryover. Like, the Grizzlies' issues seem like they're going to have carryover issues. They're the older guys. Conley's, you know, banged up with something all the time. Gasol has, you know, consistent injury issues in the same spots. You know, Randolph's up there in age. Allen's up there in age. And, you know, Parsons has, you know, serious injury issues as well. So with the Jazz, it's just kind of young guys who got hurt flukishly. But now, you know, Alec Burks healthy, Exum healthy, Gobert healthy, Favors healthy. Like, these are young guys, insanely important guys who all missed major chunks or all of last year. They got a starting point guard. George Hill's really good. Like, George Hill's a really good player. Raul Nato, who started last year, who was a rookie, doesn't have to start anymore. And Nato was not the worst defender, but, you know, doesn't really run an offense. Hey, do you know why the Jazz would have a different starting point guard last year if Donald Trump owned the team? Because Trump never would have signed Nato in the first place. That is a solid joke. You want to bet that's the first North Atlantic Treaty Organization themed joke in Locked On Network history? I bet it is. I'm willing to bet it is. They got Boris Diaw. They got Joe Johnson, too. I'm just going to blow by that joke right now. But they bolstered their bench. I think that team's winning 50. They won 40 last year with Gobert missing a big chunk, with Favors missing a big chunk, with Burks missing almost the whole year, with Exum out the entire year. Plus they got George Hill. Plus they got Joe Johnson. Plus they got Boris Diaw. Like, I think that team is – plus they're young, and guys are probably going to get better because they're all young. And they have a really good coach. Quinn Snyder's a really good coach, I think. So I think that team's winning 50-plus. It's really good. But, you know, if they have injury issues again or something goes horribly wrong, like, the Thunder do have a chance at the four. The middle of the conference is pretty jumbled. Now, I reserve, before I give the rest of this, I reserve the right to change these when I do a season preview of the whole league at the end of the preseason. I'm reserving the right to change my mind on all of this because of what I see in the preseason and what I want to believe. But I'm going one Golden State, two San Antonio, three the Clippers. Although, after looking at stuff in the preseason, I might put the Clippers second and San Antonio third. I worry a little about San Antonio's defense, like, by San Antonio standards. Like, David Lee and Pau Gasol do not make me excited about their defense. And Kawhi might be so good that it might still just keep him as a really solid defense. But I don't think they're going to be number one in defense this year. I really don't think they're going to be number one in defense this year. And LaMarcus Aldridge is a really good defender, too. I should give credit to Aldridge, too. And Danny Green is wonderful. But I don't know. I mean, their offseason additions don't inspire a lot of defensive confidence, even in a team that was just so locked down last year. But Golden State, Spurs, Clippers for now. But I could see myself watching the preseason being like, I'll put the Spurs third. Utah, like I said, is fourth. I'm putting the Grizzlies fifth. I do think the Grizzlies over-under is intriguing. One of my buddies texted me. They were 43.5. One of my buddies texted me thinking that, like, oh, it's got to be over. And, like, if I have them at fifth, I do think they're going to win 43.5. But that's, like, a stay away for me, too. Because that's their win range is it's so wide. Like, it's a team that everyone could get hurt. It's like the Knicks. The Knicks are like that, too. Everyone could get hurt. They could win 50, the Knicks. They could win 48, something like that. If everybody's healthy, guys play well, Noah has a bounce back year. Everyone could also get hurt because every single person has injury history on that team. Everyone could get hurt, and they could win 28 games. Like, some of those teams, I just stay away from the over-unders. With those injury-riddled teams, it's too much like gambling and too little like investing. I'm putting the Thunder 6, Trailblazers 7, Rockets 8. 8 seed was tough because you kind of have, like, a whole mishmash of Minnesota and Denver and Dallas and New Orleans and any of those teams can do it. Like, the West is pretty close, I think. But I'm putting the Thunder 6th. And, like, I'm putting the Thunder 6th with, like, maybe 2 wins fewer than Memphis. And I think the Jazz will be maybe 7 or 8 wins ahead of them. So I do have the Jazz pretty far ahead of them. But I think the Thunder, like I said, win 45. Grizzlies are in like the 47 range. I think the Blazers and Rockets are in that like 43 to 44 range as well. Here's my final prediction before we go. I will not embarrass myself at a press conference this year. I'm not sure how hot that take is, but it's happening. It's not a goal. It's a prediction. No joke. One of my editors watches Thunder press conferences just for my questions. That is not a joke. I've got crap flying at me from every angle. I just figured you'd enjoy that. Before we head out, remember I'm on every weekday now, Monday through Friday. If you missed any of Thunder Season Preview Week, that's no problem at all. That's the beauty of podcasts. We're not live. You can just listen whenever the heck you want. You just go wherever you normally listen to Locked On Thunder. You find the podcast there and you're good. I have separate previews on the guards, the wings, the big men, the coaching, and now, of course, season predictions and such. You can find that stuff on normantranscript.com too. And I'm going to put up a little hub on Friday at some point. I'm not sure yet. I'll probably do it in the morning. But I'm going to put up a little hub on Friday on normantranscript.com. And it's just going to have links to all five written previews and all five podcasts from season preview week. On top of that, just an announcement, Friday, 12:30 p.m. Central Time, that's media day. We got like basketball season is starting. The next time you hear my voice, unless you're watching media day press conferences, in which tapes, God help your soul because you need to get a hobby. But unless you're watching media day press conferences and you happen to hear my voice, next time you hear my voice, it will officially be training camp. That's a big deal. But you can find the hub from any of the season preview stuff that you might have missed. Easy. Just head on normantranscript.com. Go to Thunder Road. That's my blog under the sports tab. And I'm going to put that up probably Friday morning or something. It'll be easy. You know, sometimes I write stuff and I can't stand it. You know, it's like when you hear your recorded voice on tape and you just can't deal with yourself. You know that feeling? But I actually liked what I wrote on the coaches for Thursday's column. If you have to read Run 1 and you're asking for a recommendation because you don't want to read like 4,000 words of season previews, I'd say that's the one that you should read. I think it's the most informative piece that I wrote. It's definitely the one that I worked on the most in terms of just the most amount of time, cutting video and that kind of stuff. And it kind of glosses over the whole team the most as opposed to the guards. You're just getting the guards, wings are getting the wings, and so on and so forth. If you're subscribed to the show, you're going to be all good on getting the rest of our shows, the ones coming up and the ones in the past. You can head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. Also, if you're a local advertiser, by the way, and you are looking to advertise with Locked On Thunder, please email lockedonthunder@gmail.com too. I'm going to start taking some local advertisements. I'm not sure when, but I'm going to start running those at some point, hopefully in the near future. So if you are interested, lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me directly at Fred Katz on Twitter, @FredKatz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, including those previews. And check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. Thanks to SeatGeek for today's show. Remember, enter the promo code LOTHUNDER, LOTHUNDER, for a $20 rebate after your first purchase. That's going to do it for today. Off for the weekend. Back Monday for more Thunder and NBA talk. Until next time, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the wraiths. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.